got quite a bit to talk about, I think.
Yeah, me too. Like, I wanted to catch up because it's... When's the last time we've done this?
If Skype can be believed, it was exactly 1 month ago that we did our last...
Wow. I was about to say, it did feel like it was a long time.
Yeah. Okay, so... This is the first one that we can, I think, officially say we are titling as Mainly Movies, the podcast.
Yes. Oh, that's... See, now we got a title, we're all official and stuff.
We have a name, and I kind of like... So it kind of looks like Manly Movies when you look at it, but it's not Manly Movies, which would be way too cheesy, but it's like kind of.
Just kind
of. Like, I'm okay with that, because most of the movies we do... I don't know if they're manly, but they're definitely like guy movies.
That's true.
So for the first official Mainly Movies podcast, we're going to talk about the hit film Star Wars number 8, The Last Jedi.
Oh yeah. Just a little indie film. You may have heard of it.
Yeah.
It's already the top grossing movie in the US of 2017 after just 3 weeks.
It'll probably be the top one of 2018 for a while, too.
Yeah, until Infinity War comes out and destroys everything. Man.
Let's not go there. We're going to keep this Star Wars.
Yeah, got to keep focused.
Yeah, okay. So you've seen it twice.
Yeah, because I saw it opening night, so I definitely needed to see it again.
Okay, and I saw it just once on Christmas Day. So I went somehow, like, 2 full weeks, spoiler-free.
That is impressive.
Which, I will say, I feel like the only spoiler, really, that came through was that there were mixed opinions of it. And that's the one that I wish, like, I didn't really know going into it.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. That seems like it would be hard to avoid, because people...
Yeah, I knew that it was, like, I don't know. And so afterwards, I've gone and, like, looked, and it seems like... This is what Rotten Tomatoes says also, that, like, critics just love this movie. Like, just the greatest Star Wars ever, according to critics. But it's the fans that are split, and it's only at, like, 55% on Rotten Tomatoes of audience approval.
Yeah, I saw that there was, like, as soon as I saw the movie, I got on Reddit, and I was just seeing what people were saying. And there is definitely, like, negative opinions. But I never in a million years would have thought that the Rotten Tomatoes score would go down that low.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. Okay, we need to get into it. So, I guess start with our overall opinion of the movie.
Well, first off, I have a question for you, because I'm not exactly sure of your answer. What is your, like, relationship with Star Wars? Like, I know we were both, like, into it, but... I guess, you know, being our age, I feel like people slightly above our age are way bigger Star Wars fans in general, just because they grew up with those movies more like when they were like coming out in theaters and stuff. Whereas like you and me, the movies that are coming out when we were kids were the prequels. So
yes,
I think we have a different relationship with Star Wars in general because, you know, we sort of grew up with the original trilogy, but just not as intensely as, I guess, other people.
I agree. And so there are definitely people our age, though, that associate with that older group of, like, the original trilogy can't be touched.
And, yeah,
like,
that's true.
There's some people that, like, but those are the people that, like, Star Wars is their life. Like, they're always posting Star Wars stuff.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not one of those people. I would say I've loved Star Wars since I was a kid, but it's probably on the same level with, like, how much I loved Lord of the Rings or superhero movies. It's kind of in that realm of just, like, these are really great movies that I love. Maybe a little bit above that just because of how good they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think another thing is, I don't know, the people that grew up with the original Star Wars really hate the prequels.
Oh yeah, with a just burning, like, burning yes, passion. Yes,
just like they are the scum of the earth. They should be forgotten. And those were the ones that came out, like, we were the target audience for those movies.
Yeah, which is kind of, it makes me cringe when I think about it a little bit. Not like we caused it, but...
I know, but it's like, this was Star Wars aimed at, like, the new generation, And I think it kind of worked because, like,
it did. I mean, we don't hate Star Wars.
And I would say, like, the movie I have seen more than any other Star Wars movie is Episode 2, Attack of the Clones. And I could quote, like, 75% of that movie just because I watched it so much growing up. Me and my friend would watch it and make fun of characters in it. And, like, it was just a fun time. Like, we weren't making fun of it of, oh, this is the worst movie made ever. It was just like, oh, Anakin's funny when he, like, has to express his emotions.
Yeah, so, yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, but, like, I don't know. The prequels, like, I don't know. I see them the same way I see the originals of, like, these are Star Wars movies, and I've enjoyed watching them since I was young.
Okay, yeah, I was just curious where you were coming from, because I feel like, I don't know, and we'll get, and we don't have to dive into the mixed opinions of the populace, but it seemed like the older fans who kind of grew up with the original trilogy, it seemed like this movie, like, offended them somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say most of the people that were offended are in that group of the original trilogy truthers, or whatever you want to call them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, overall impression of the movie. What did you think?
So, I thought about this a lot, and the first time I watched it, when I walked out of the theater, I was like, that I enjoyed most of that. And you know, on the car ride back with Josh, we started talking about it a little bit. And it was like, the more I talked about it, the more I was like just pointing out dumb stuff. And then I was just like, well, I guess a lot of that dumb stuff kind of stuck with me. So then I got on Reddit and I saw people really angry. I was like, okay, well, I could see how that would bother them. And that's really why I wanted to see it a second time, because I was like, there's just so much going on in this movie that I think it's a little hard to dissect it after just one view, and especially since I had seen it a couple weeks ago. But seeing it a second time, I think my tagline for this movie really is, it has good or great ideas most of the time, but it has meh to poor execution a lot of the time as well. Because I feel like a lot of the ideas that either Rian Johnson or the writers or whatever were trying to put into the universe, I think they were pretty interesting and thought-provoking, but they didn't either, they either didn't go far enough, or they just, it was too much in your face, and they didn't really express it the way that I think would have been best. So, I don't know. That's why my opinion on the movie really is mixed, because I think there's some really cool things in it. I think there are some cool ideas and a foundation of cool ideas and stuff like that, but some of the execution and some of the ways they went about it, I didn't like all that much. But yeah, that's where I'm sitting. So how about you?
Okay. Yeah, I'd say I'm pretty similar. So I only saw it the one time, and I think it took me probably like a full week to actually process the whole thing.
Yeah, there's just a lot in the movie.
There's so many things. Yeah, and I will, like, on, I saw it with my whole family, and the whole car ride home, we were just pointing out, like, things, and, like, I think the strongest opinion I have of it is that it gave you too many things to have strong opinions about.
Yeah.
Like, there are a lot of things that you can like or not like, it's just there are so many of those things that it's like, there should have been, I don't know, I just don't remember with, I mean, you would have thought Force Awakens, the first Star Wars movie to come out in however many years, like, would have had more of that of, like, man, there's so much in here to dissect, but it was, like, somehow this one, just way more so, had so many things to get into. But I'd say overall, like, I was just, like, it's a Star Wars movie, and I enjoyed it. Like, I'm gonna enjoy Star Wars movies. And so I don't think there's ever gonna be a time where I'm like, man, I just really hated that movie.
Yeah, just I definitely like, didn't hate it or anything.
It was just, yeah, it's an experience. And hopefully it always stays that way. Okay, so I guess the way we've kind of planned to do this is just go chronologically through in as much detail as we can bear, I guess. Starting at the beginning, and then we can just kind of sprint, because I think I have a couple, like, overall thematic opinions that I want to get to at some point.
Yeah,
I
me think too.
Some of those can wait until certain points in the movie.
Okay, yeah, I agree. There are definitely... Yeah, I really want to talk about some of the themes in this movie because they're definitely worth discussion because I think all those themes in there, I think that adds to the bloating of the movie like we were talking about, so...
Yeah. Okay. So, movie opens with kind of the, like, prank phone call scene where Poe is sitting in his X-Wing in front of the giant First Order dreadnought and calls them. And so I remember when this was happening, it took me a while to figure out what was going on. Like, I didn't understand that Poe was, like, prank calling. Because it's just the movie opens, it, like, zooms in, and then we're just there, and Poe's just like, hey, like, what's going on? Like, am I getting patched through to the general or something like that? And mm-hmm. I was like, I don't understand. So I've seen a lot of things about how there were too many jokes in the new Star Wars, and I don't know if I have that opinion, but I thought this first joke, I was just really confused. So I guess it didn't land for me until it was, like, too late, and I was like, oh, that's what they're trying to do.
So you caught on about when General Hux got on?
Yes. It was about then, and I was like, oh, that's what this is supposed to be, and it's supposed to be... Because there's nothing that would tell you it's supposed to be funny. We've never opened, like, 5 seconds into a Star Wars movie, and it's just like, oh, you're in on the joke, right? And it's like, what? Like, I'm trying to remember everything that happened at the end of the last movie. Where are we? What characters are here? There's Poe. Like, I don't know what's going on.
When did you rewatch The Force Awakens before you saw this?
No, I didn't rewatch Force Awakens. I've watched that one several times to where, like, I feel pretty confident that I remember it clearly.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that I didn't remember is coming shortly after that was what Finn was doing. And that took me a minute to figure out, but we'll get to that.
Yeah. I don't know. I saw some people had issues with the start of the movie. Because of the comedy and everything. I thought it was funny. And I laughed the first time, and the second time I knew it was coming, and I still laughed.
I think I'll like it better watching it a second time when I'm, like, ready for it. Just, I think there is so much, like, anticipation of, like, Star Wars, here we go. And, like, Force Awakens opened so intense with that, like, Kylo coming down to the planet and killing all those people. Like,
mm-hmm.
It was just a different feeling.
Yeah, it was definitely a different feeling. When you go back and watch, because Josh and I, we rewatched Force Awakens, like, a night or two nights before The Last Jedi. And it makes sense that the First Order would come to the Rebel base because they're about to shoot their Star Killer base. Is that the name of the Death Star mm-hmm. thingy? They're about to shoot that at the base. So they knew where it was. I mean, it makes logical sense that they'd be like, okay, that didn't work. We're still going to come get you guys. So I get that part of it. And that was kind of a connective tissue that I think worked pretty well because, I mean, just in the Star Wars universe, using that logic, I feel like that would be their next approach. But yeah, I had issues with some of the movie's comedy, and this wasn't one of them just because Oscar Isaac, he is so dang charming. Like, it just really worked on me.
I do love Oscar Isaac in, like, every movie he's in.
Yeah, he's pretty great, so. And I don't know, like, even the whole, his whole X-Wing maneuver on top of the dreadnought, taking out the towers and BB-8 fixing the guns and everything. I really loved all that, because in general, I kind of just zone out during Space Wars, during the TIE Fighter.
Star Wars.
Oh, Lord, I knew it was going to happen, but during the X-Wings and the TIE Fighters stuff, because it's kind of low stakes, because I'm just like, I don't really know these people, and I'll see them, like, 3 seconds in their cockpit, and then they'll explode, and it's like, well, that's kind of sad. But I was really invested that he was going to get out of there. I really enjoyed that opening scene, and I think this opening scene really solidified my absolute favorite part about Star Wars, and it's really just the sound and the music, because when Poe first hits... the afterburner on the X-Wing, and he's flying through. Just the sound of that, and then the TIE fighters coming right after him. It's that feeling that you can't really get anywhere else but Star Wars. So, I don't know. I really enjoyed that opening scene.
I agree. It was, the first joke was, like, didn't hit for me, but, like, after that, I kind of wish the movie had started, like, with him, like, flying and doing crazy stuff. Kind of like how Episode 3 started with, like, Obi-Wan and Anakin flying around. You're just right in the middle of the action. But, yeah, because I really liked it right after that, and so he goes and kind of does his little mission, and then they bring in the bombers.
Which were cool. We haven't seen those before.
Yes, yeah. Those are really cool. And so they start dropping their bombs, and I'm really... And then, so there's, like, the bombers are getting taken down, and then there's, like, the last girl, like, trying to drop the last payload of bombs to blow up the ship. And I was, like, really into that. And then the thing that took me out of it, and... So a lot of people had problems with, like, oh, gravity shouldn't be working, the bomb shouldn't be falling. That didn't bother me. What bothers me, and this is in so many space movies, is that hatch was just open to space. And she was just breathing it.
Yeah, she was just chilling.
Yes. And, oh, this is maybe just one of my pet peeves, but it's like, if you're going to make a space movie, you can't have people that can just breathe space. Like, otherwise, there's just no stakes.
And that's such, like an easy fix. Like, put some weird-looking helmet on her,
she could have had a, like, clear helmet so you can see all her facial expressions. I've thought about this so much. It would be so easy to do. And it's just, like, and she's just laying there on top of a grate, and you can just see space right below her. And I'm just like, no! And so that, like, took me out of the, like, the super cool moment of, like, the bombs dropping and the dreadnought exploding. And I was just like, she can't breathe that.
I mean, she didn't make it either way.
I know. It was just like, ah. And that's just one of my things. And that's kind of one of my just pet peeves is, like, I don't know. It makes me think immediately, like, this director doesn't know anything about, like, space or technology or how anything in the universe works. They're just trying to make a cool scene. And it's like, did no one, like, say, like, you can't do this? So that really bothered me.
No, I understand because I think part of the reason it probably bothers you is because it's such an easy fix. Like, it wouldn't have been outside the realm of possibility to just give them some weird plastic clear thing to put on themselves. Then boom, you know, you're good. So
okay, it's an easy fix there. It's not a couple scenes later in the movie. And we'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
So I've got the IMDb synopsis pulled up here just to try to help guide me through exactly what happened scene by scene.
Yeah, that might be a little bit more descriptive than the wiki I have open.
Yeah. So this happens. She deploys the last bomb. The dreadnought explodes. And it's like they accomplished the mission, but at what cost? And so they kind of warp out of there, and back on the First Order ship, Hux gets in trouble for not stopping him. And so I kind of wanted to talk about what did you think of Hux in this movie?
I generally like Hux a lot.
So I thought they did a lot. They made an intentional move, I thought, this time to make him more of a caricature of, like, just this, like, over-the-top general just yelling things, and he's kind of, like, sniveling, and I thought they made that character a lot more, like, cartoonish, which I thought was what they needed to do with him.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I like that actor a lot, and just the expression on his face when the rebels get away, and someone says, oh, Snoke's calling, and he's like, yes, I'll take him in my quarters. Like, that was perfect. Like, just...
Yes.
It was funny. Yeah. It had that, like, bit of fear in him that you would expect. I know a lot of people probably... I don't know what people's opinions are about him, but I really like General Hux. I think he's pretty interesting. I think he's a nice foil for Kylo Ren.
Yeah. So, I just thought he was definitely more distinct in this movie, just of, like, being that character Whereas in the last one, it was like he's the general, but he really only had that one scene where he's like Hitler yelling at the troops.
Yeah, I didn't love that.
Yeah, that was like his only really memorable scene. But mm-hmm. I liked what they did with him in this movie. So he kind of gets called out, and then Kylo gets called out, and then has his like rage fit in the elevator where he smashes his helmet because Snoke told him he couldn't hear his voice in the helmet or whatever.
You know, like even this opening scene with Kylo Ren, and we'll get into this, but I really think that Adam Driver like made this movie. He carried it a lot, I think.
Okay.
And I really enjoyed that moment with him, because you know he had those rage moments in The Force Awakens, and it was like more funny then, I guess, because we didn't really know why he was raging out, if he was like angsty or whatever. But here it just made so much more sense. Like Snoke was chastising him, and Kylo Ren was just like, "I killed my dad. Like, what else do you want me to do? I've given myself over fully." And he's like, "No, you really haven't." And he's pissed. Like that makes sense. And more of a tragic way than more of a, you know, slightly comedic way than I think it was presented in The Force Awakens.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I really like Kylo in this one. My dad actually said, like, Kylo was the thing that he liked the least about the movie. He said he likes Adam Driver, but he thought his performance in this one, like, really brought the movie down. And I haven't seen that opinion anywhere else, but I just think it's really interesting that it stood out to you as what made the movie great. Which I think I tend to agree more with you that, like, I thought just character development-wise, I thought Kylo and Rey were, like, the strongest
parts
of this movie.
Definitely.
I agree. I was a little sad that we didn't get to see the helmet again, because I think that's kind of one of the cooler parts of his character. But maybe it'll come back.
I was sad, but at the same time, I was kind of glad it was gone, because because that way Adam Driver was able to, like, emote more.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree there. Okay, so we finish that scene, and we go back, and Finn has woken up, and this was where I was like, why was he sleeping? Like, it took me a minute to figure out. And again, at the same time, they're doing like this joke of him like falling off the table. And I'm just like, what? Like, trying to think back to the last movie. Like, why is he the only one that is like passed out? And so, like, he had like a big battle at the end of the last one, and I guess he was in a coma. And woke up from it in some like water suit, and then comes out with like water pouring out of it.
Which, have we ever seen that before? Like,
I don't know, that scene and like that suit just didn't, I don't know, there's something about it that just didn't feel like Star Wars. Like, it just I don't know, something about that was just like trying to think of like what technology this is where we might have seen something like this before. It just seemed completely foreign to anything we've seen before.
Yeah, I guess it didn't really bother me. I just, I don't know. Yeah, I can't really think of any characters who would have, in the Star Wars universe, who would have been in a similar situation. I don't know what kind of, like, healing apparatus they would be using. So, I guess this was his attempt to, like, do something new. I don't know. It didn't really bother me. I was fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, another joke that just didn't work on me.
Your comedy is missing so far with you, man.
I know. A couple misses. So he gets out. So one thing, right there, he does immediately ask for Rey.
That was...
Which, I liked that, because I liked that it was like tying back to his character in The Force Awakens. It's always like, what's Rey doing? Like, I gotta be there.
Yeah, that was a really strong moment for me, because those were like his first lines of dialogue. The last we saw of Finn, he was getting almost sliced in half by Kylo, and the first thing he asked is, where's Rey? I think that was a really cool way to just continue that same characterization arc that they had set him on. And it kind of, you know, had the perfect segue to Skywalker Island. What's the name of the place? I can't pronounce it. Octo?
Yeah.
All right.
Like, Octo, but, like, with a weird, like, emphasis. But so I liked that where he asked for it, but I felt like they kind of just forgot about that until like the end of the movie when they meet up again. Like, I wish they had stuck a little stronger to the, like, Finn is going after Rey.
Yeah, you know? But that would detract from his whole subplot, which we gotta go. Okay, we gotta do that later.
I know. We'll get there. Okay, so we're going to start. Yeah, we're taking our sweet time on this. This is gonna be a long one, man.
Oh yeah, it is.
Okay. So we made it to Force Island. We can call it Force Island. Oh, I like that. Okay. So meet up with Luke. Okay. So what did you think of just interaction with Luke? Starting out, it goes right back to the scene where she's handing him the lightsaber and he takes it and he just tosses it over his shoulder. And I will say I did not like that scene.
Yeah, I'm going to side with you. I didn't like it either. And it wasn't that I didn't like it because I thought they were like trying to inject too much comedy, which I guess that's a fair criticism. I just didn't like it cuz I don't know, like we waited 2 years for this and I guess I don't know. I didn't like it. And I feel like a lot of the things I don't like in this movie, I feel like someone who loved it could just be like, oh, well, they're trying to subvert your opinions. That's why it's great. And just because you're, like, tricking people or doing something like that doesn't mean it's good. Like, we've waited 2 years to hear Luke Skywalker talk and see him, like, hold his lightsaber for the first time in over 40 years. And then he's just going to toss it over his shoulder just because that's not what I would expect him to do and that makes it good? No! So I don't know. Yeah. I wasn't a fan.
So this is kind of one of my overall themes I wanted to get to. And I thought, this is where I think I really first thought it, is I really like Rian Johnson as a director. I think he did a good job, and I think he had a lot of cool ideas. And I have no problem with him. He's signed up for, like, the next trilogy or whatever. He's, like, writing the next three. No problem with that, but I feel like I wish for this trilogy they had just stuck with one director.
Dude, exact same. Because I really do.
I feel like while he has a lot of cool ideas, they weren't continuous with a lot of the themes set up in A Force Awakens. It was scenes like this where it was like she's holding out the lightsaber. And then it's like a new director comes in and is like, ah, I don't like that idea. Let's just scrap it and have him throw it over his shoulder.
Yeah, it felt like they got to the writer's room and they said, okay, let's do nothing what people expect to trick people and like turn it on its head. And if you're doing that for interesting reasons, I get it. But if you're doing it just to say, ha ha, gotcha, then yeah. I can't get on board with that, really. And this felt like one of those moments I was just like, it brought me out of the movie a little bit. Like, it didn't make me angry. I was just like, what? Like, we waited for that?
yeah, it's like, right then when that happens, you're like, oh yeah, this is a different director. Like, because there's no way that, like, J.J. Abrams, who set up this, like, dramatic ending scene of the first Star Wars movie since forever, is just gonna like continue that with like a joke. Like, I don't know, it just seems like there's like several scenes where it's like just a gap between the two directors, and they're bringing JJ back for the last one, which I'm happy about. I just kind of wish they had given one director control over the whole thing, because I thought this movie felt as different from Force Awakens as Force Awakens felt from any of the other movies. Like, it just, there were just so many things that where it was just slightly different, and it's like, this is just another person's vision, and I don't think you can have a continuous story arc with several different people telling different parts of the story.
I agree. I think, yeah, I don't have an issue with Rian Johnson, and I feel, let's not kid ourselves. We're both still going to watch his new trilogy or whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm more excited about that than, I don't know. Yeah, I wish they had just let one director do everything. And I'm not even saying necessarily they had to be J.J. Abrams. I just think it's easier to tell a cohesive story when it's one person doing it. I don't think that's a very controversial statement. I think that's just how life is.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. We got to keep going.
We do. I'm sorry.
So Luke, I think after this, so Rey and Kylo start having kind of their telepathic connection.
Hold on. We've skipped things.
Did I skip a lot of things?
Well, we got to talk about Luke's like daily routine.
Okay, that's what I couldn't remember if that came first or whatever. But yes, okay. Yeah, so Luke is just a bit of an oddball now, which a lot of people didn't like. I don't have the like emotional childhood connection to Luke.
Same.
So I wasn't like, not my Luke, but so he goes down and he like milks some weird looking thing.
I did which, not like that. Not one bit. I didn't like it at all.
Remember any time in a Star Wars movie where it's like, oh, this is like a gag scene. Like we want the audience to be like, ew.
Well, that's what happened. I was like, ew.
I know. It's just like, I don't know why, like, and there's, like, the blue milk that comes out of it, and it's, like, that's just, like, such unnecessary fan service. Like,
yeah, not a fan of that.
And so he, like, stabs the thing, and I'm okay with him being kind of a kooky guy, but it was just, like, too weird. And I don't know anyone that was like, oh, yeah, that was great.
No, I wasn't a fan of that. And I don't know. I didn't love kooky Luke Skywalker because it makes me sad, I guess. Because, yeah. You know, after Return of the Jedi, you're just like, oh, what happened with, like, Luke, Leia, and Han? And then you meet Luke, and he's doing weird stuff, and it's like, this is, like, the original hero. And once again, it seems like it was a direction. It was just like, oh, you think Luke Skywalker is going to be this awesome, like, Master Jedi? Nope. He's going to be spearfishing from hundreds of feet in the air for some reason.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's just how he does things now.
I can't imagine if J.J. Abrams had done this movie that's like the vision, because it seems like Force Awakens did not set him up as like, oh, Luke's gone off the deep end. It was like Luke's hiding out. He like tried to train these people, but now he's kind of like scared and like paranoid, so he's kind of like gathering his forces or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, just, he wasn't, like, pensive. He was weird.
It did feel like it's like, oh, I bet you didn't expect Luke to be like this.
Well, you're right. I didn't expect Luke to be like
this.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, so that kind of bothered me.
But back to the mind connections between
So Kylo I think this Rey. I think that actually happens a scene later, but we can go ahead and go to, since it's in the same setting,
yeah.
I guess we can just kind of tackle this. And this is kind of there's a couple different, like, new force ideas that come into this movie. And I think this is the first one. And, I don't know, I'm just kind of curious so we can just go over it. So there's this force communication thing where they can communicate and, like, see each other, but they're not really there. So that's one of them. There's the actual force projection that's big in the final scenes where Luke projects himself. And then there's also the force holograms can now interact with the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And these are all kind of like new force ideas, which again, I think if those were all in their own trilogy, like we're exploring the force more, I wouldn't have as much of a problem with it. But it was just kind of like, this is just the middle of this story, and we're introducing all these new things. And it's just a lot to take in.
It was a lot to take in, but I think thematically it kind of made sense because, you know, think of it, Rey, like, she's used her Force abilities before. And I think she really delivers the line really well whenever Luke presses her and he's like, why are you here? Wait, is this the same time that he's like, why are you here? Either way,
we'll get there. Yeah. It's we're just doing Force Island everything.
Yeah,
right,
Force
now.
Island everything. So whenever he is asking like, "Why are you here?" and she finally says, "You know, something inside me that I think has always been there is awake, and I don't really know what to do with it." And I think that's a really interesting way to kind of view the Force. And I really enjoyed his description of the Force whenever they did their like first training section. And I don't know. It was one of those themes that I think that was one of the stronger themes in the movie, really digging into the Force. But I feel with most of the themes that I enjoyed, I feel like they didn't go far enough. I felt like I was wanting more. I felt like Rey didn't get anything that she needed from those Force lessons or anything. So I don't know. I see what you mean about it being a weird place to start it up, but the Force is kind of just this mystical object that no one ever like really gives a straight answer to. And Rey at one point is like, yeah, I'm like, what is it? And that was a really good moment for me. I was like, yes, finally someone is asking some hard questions.
Yeah. So how did you feel about, so there's the scene where Luke like first kind of has Rey use the Force. And it's kind of like this artsy, like, scene of, like, plants growing and, like, I don't know, different things like that. How did you feel about that?
I actually liked it because I feel like it's the first semi-solid description of the Force that we've gotten. And I thought it made sense. I liked it a lot more the second time because I was cued in. I made sure I was listening and paying attention. But I liked it a lot more the second time because it really was all about balance, about life and death, about growth and rebirth and things like that. And I was like, that seems to be kind of the idea of the Force, just now it's being explicitly said. I didn't have an issue with kind of like the nature reel of things going on. And I don't know, like it got intense when she started going to like the dark Force pit thingy.
Yeah.
But what are your thoughts on it? I'm sensing you aren't as big of a fan.
I actually really liked it.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna go the other way. And that's one of the things that I really liked about the movie is I thought it was just I think it's probably the most beautiful Star Wars movie, just in how it was shot.
Yes, I agree.
And like the locations and just the filming of it was done really well. Even like the way he did like the Force I don't know what to call it, telepathy thing between Rey and Kylo where they're both like looking at each other.
That was excellent cinematography.
Yeah,
it really was.
And it was really
there was
well
no
cut.
Question that they were connected. But
yeah, it was immediately you just understood what was going on.
Yeah, and we'll get back to that because I think we skipped over their little connection thing.
Yeah. So she kind of has that like vision, which is cool, and then goes down the hole kind of, and then like comes back out and Luke's like, I've never seen someone go straight to the dark side like that. Which I thought was kind of good foreshadowing later for when she's confronting Kylo. Because it kind of sets up this idea, this like question in your mind of like, oh, could Rey like go bad? Like, what do I know about her that tells me that like she has to fight for good?
Yeah, I thought that was interesting too. And I it didn't come out of the blue, I don't think. Like, it kind of made sense. Like, she was asking repeatedly for answers and like to be taught and she wasn't getting it. So like if she would have ended up turning to the dark side, I think I would have understood it just because out of frustration, that seems to have been the only option she had.
Yeah. No, I thought that was a good way to kind of raise the stakes. Although, so I didn't entirely understand. Maybe you understood it more the second time around when she, this is later on Force Island, when she actually goes down into the pit.
Oh boy.
And like looks, there's like the cave and there's like this mirror thing, and I'm not entirely sure what the purpose of that was.
Well,
so someone told me it was like she realizes that she's like all alone and it's like only her that can like do the thing or whatever.
Okay. Let me get into this because the first time I saw this, I was so confused.
Okay.
I didn't know what was going on. And then the second time I saw it, I'm still confused. And I was paying attention to everything. I was like watching her hand movements. I was listening to the dialogue, and it just seemed so out of place. And so she goes. let's talk through this because maybe we can figure it out. Because I'm still a little confused. So she goes down into the dark Force pit thingy after just not getting answers.
Which is like a real place. I thought it was just like a vision.
No,
having.
This
but
was
it's
not
a real
figurative.
Place on the island.
This is literal.
Yes.
Oh, and also, I didn't even think of this. Josh thought of it the first time we saw it. You know how she, like, flies into the pit? Josh was like, how would she know how to swim? Because earlier in the movie, she's just, like, remarking, or she's, like, happy, like, looking at the rain. How would she know how to swim growing up with Jakku?
That is a great question, Josh.
Yeah, I didn't think of it. I was like, well done,
Josh. No answer. I have no answer for you at all. I would never have, because she has been on Jakku her entire, man. Huh.
Yep.
Yeah, so. That, I didn't catch that, but I'm going to catch it the next time.
That's all Josh.
Man, okay.
But she goes down there, she looks in there, and she's trying to find her parents, and then, or she asks to see her parents, and then she doesn't find it. So it's like the dark side, it seemed like when she was doing that force lesson that that pit was like the dark side. So she went there for answers and then didn't get them.
It was just like her, like, looking at herself.
Yeah.
And I feel like maybe we're just dumb and we don't understand, like, the obvious symbolism of it. Because it has to be, like, symbolic somehow, but I don't know.
Man, I was really hoping you would know because...
No, I did. That was one where... And I was like, oh, cool scene. Because it's like, she's like snapping and it's like echoing. And I'm like, cool scene. And then it ends and I'm like, what was that? What did we just do?
Yeah, and the only reason... Because you said someone explained that, like, that was showing that she, like, feels all alone. And the only reason that makes any sense is because immediately after she gets out of that pit, she's sitting in the hut by herself, and she says, literally, I have never felt so alone.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess it's something about that, but maybe we'll figure it out someday.
My only hypothesis is she went down to the dark side to get some answers, and then she didn't get any. So it was, like, neither Luke, who represents the good, like, the light side, or the dark, which the pit is representing. She's not getting answers from either, and that's why she's feeling alone. That is my best interpretation, and it sounds artsy-fartsy enough to just maybe
be correct. Yeah, I just don't understand, like, what was that mirror then? Like, what is it? I don't know. What does it do? I just don't understand. Okay, so I think that, for the most part, we've covered Force Island. So she kind of has several back and forths with Kylo, and eventually kind of, like, comes to empathize with him and just wants to, like, she thinks she can, like, talk him out of it, and so decides to go to his ship. So we can kind of stick a pin in that, and unless you have something else from Force Island.
I do want to say, I think, like, Mark Hamill and Daisy Ridley, I think they are phenomenal.
Yeah.
The way Rey delivers that, like, the Force line, like, she's talking about how it's always been there, it is perfect. Like, no wonder they use that for the trailer. And just Mark Hamill's facial expressions the whole time, he's just doing so good. I think they were really acting their socks off, and they did great. And one scene that really sticks out to me, and I think this will be the end of Force Island unless you have anything else, but... Whenever
is it the shirtless Kylo scene?
No, it's not that.
Okay, good. I was hoping we can just breeze right by that.
Which we do got to get back to those conversations. I keep skipping over those. But when she finally asked for, like, you know, the truth about Kylo Ren from Luke, and they kind of have their little battle.
Yeah.
And he finally tells her, and she's like, well, I'm going to go see Kylo, and Luke's like, this isn't going to go the way you think. She holds out the lightsaber, like, one more time, and Luke just, he says no, and then she's like, all right, well, that's the only option I have. And it was just something so subtle about her saying, you know, that one last please, and then him saying no that convinces her to leave. I don't know, I thought that was a really strong moment for me.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree that I think the acting on Force Island was really good. I think that was really strong pair.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
I don't know if you want to talk about the porgs or the little creatures on the island.
I
didn't really feel one way or the other. Some people are, like, super pro-porg. Some people are super anti-porg. I just don't really, like, it's just a creature. It was made to sell toys.
Yeah, I'm more of a fan of porgs than I am a hater of porgs, because they didn't detract from the story, and they made me smile. So yeah. I think
that's fair.
I think that's pretty good.
That's fair.
So with the Force conversations with... Kylo Ren and Rey, I think this was the most interesting part of the movie for me, and also one of the most disappointing, because I thought their connection was really interesting. I thought them seeing, the Kylo Ren story was really interesting. I guess it just left me still wanting more, and I don't think I'm going to get more. I think that
more
was
as far
it.
As, like, interaction between those two?
No,
or
but...
more as far as, like, talking about the Force and, like, what it is?
More just the birth of Kylo Ren, because they were explaining, you know, Luke felt like this darkness in him and Snoke got to him. I just need like a throwaway line of like, how did Snoke like do this? Like they said the darkness was like rising inside him. Was Kylo like trying to do something in particular? And the dark side was the only way that he was being able to do it. Like, I guess I just wanted some, just a little bit more clarification of what was happening, because Luke was like, I looked in his mind and he was already gone. I was like, well, how did that happen?
I know what you're, so yeah, it feels like they were talking, and this is like kind of in the middle of the movie, and we'll get to the other storylines, but I felt like the middle of the movie is where I kind of got lost the most, because I feel like it was scenes like this where they're talking in these like figurative terms
and
and I don't know, at some point I just needed like concrete story of like this happened, or this person went to this place and this thing happened.
Like, we're not asking for much, we just need a little bit more, because I thought it was so interesting that dynamic of them talking about the Force and like feeling alone and that bond. I thought that was super interesting. I just needed a little bit more, and I would have been a big fan of it. So at the moment I'm just a fan.
So they do that flashback thing several times, and finally on the last one they show Luke like at the beginning with R2-D2, and it was like from the vision that Rey had in Force Awakens.
Right.
And I was like, finally, we're going to get like some of this. And that's all we got, was that one first little scene. I thought, because there's another scene right after that where it's like the Knights of Ren and like they're, it's like raining and like something's going on, but they just didn't get to that part.
Yeah,
and I was,
it was
like, when are we going to get to like why Kylo like joined the Knights of Ren, why he has the mask, like how he joined the First Order? It was like none of that.
It was like the people who were writing this movie like watched The Force Awakens, that one scene where she grabs the lightsaber, they watched it once and were just like, okay, cool, got it. And they weren't really concerned about expounding or exploring that anymore.
Yeah, and that's another, like, going back to the, like, I feel like the directors had different visions, was this, I feel like Rian Johnson was like, yeah, cool, I'm just not going to worry about any of that stuff, and I'm going to kind of do this other thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, okay, your other thing might be fine, but it's like, we just watched, like, the last movie had all these things, and we need answers for them. So, yeah. That did bother me.
Yeah,
okay.
Me too. I think that, so, I don't have any more to add about Force Island, I don't think.
Okay. So we've got Rey off of Force Island going to meet up with Kylo. So we'll get to that scene.
Mm-hmm.
But while that's going on, we've got the whole, resistance plot of they're flying away in their thing, and the First Order has figured out a way to track them through hyperspace, and they show up, and then there's like the chase that's going on, which I'm guessing you've listened to the Hello Internet review. So I didn't realize this at first, but after listening to that, it was like painfully obvious that like the whole plot here is kind of silly, because it's like one ship chasing another ship, and they're kind of shooting at it, and it's like, where are the other ships? They could come in on the other side.
It feels like it would be the plot of like a Star Trek TV show, because it's short enough that you would be like, it's short enough that you wouldn't think about other ships coming from somewhere else. But I don't know. And this touches on another point that I have issue with this movie. The scale of this movie makes no sense. Like, how big is the First Order? Like, did the majority of them get destroyed when, like, the planet exploded at the end of the
No, because in the opening scroll it says they've taken over most of the galaxy.
Then where the hell are they?
I guess they're at the other places in the galaxy.
Doing what? Because the entire Resistance is in that one ship. They don't need soldiers on the ground.
Like, so, like, when in the opening scene, when it's, like, the Dreadnought and those ships and, like, the Resistance ship in front of it, it's like, that's everyone. Everyone is present in that, like, first sequence. You just don't really see them all, except Luke's on his island. But it is very, like, contained to that, like, little bubble of these ships chasing these ships.
Mm-hmm.
And it never really expands past that. Okay, so what's actually going on with the Resistance, Poe kind of had his thing where he had, like, caused a bunch of people to die by telling the bombers to take out the Dreadnought, and Leia gets mad and, like, takes away his rank, and then the First Order ship shows up and they're like, it tracked us, how? And so they started attacking, and this is when, so the bridge of the Resistance ship blows up.
Oh, here we go.
Leia goes flying out, and there's this magical scene where she's floating out in space, and she reaches out her hand and can use the Force. We've never seen her use the Force before. Pulls herself back in, and is kind of like in a coma. So, as soon as I saw this, I was like, oh, people are going to have their day with this scene. Like, I just can't imagine what director would be like, oh, people like this.
Okay, but, so well, when it first happened, did you think that was how Leia was going to die? Because, you know, we've lost Carrie Fisher now.
I was so ready for it.
I was too.
I was like, this is how they do it.
Because, yeah. like she could sense Kylo Ren up there, and he wasn't pressing the button, like... They took away a lot of the audio there. Like, it was a really tense scene. And then her floating away, I was like, oh my god, like, the whole leadership's gone. Like, Akbar's gone, everything. And then she, like, she Mary Poppins back on board. And my jaw dropped, and I was so confused that they put this in the movie, because I was like, oh, so that's how Princess Leia is going to go out. I was like, that's kind of sad. It's so early in the movie. But nope, she came back and didn't really do too much.
Oh, okay. And this is my question. Why is she still alive? At the end of the movie, Leia is still alive.
Because, and I was like, they filmed all the scenes and...
I know. I mean, I was like, why? You had chances. You could have... And okay, so my problem with this... Honestly, I could even accept, like, Leia has the Force and has, like, Force powers. My problem, once again, is people cannot survive in space. It's not possible. If you go out into space, you are dead. Like, you are imploded, and, like, it's just, you can't just, like, come back and just be kind of, like, cold. I just, it was just like, that's not how space works. So I'll buy that she can somehow, like, force float her way back onto the ship, even though completely unnecessary, perfect way for her to go. And I just, like, it's, you don't survive in space.
Yeah, that was silly.
I just, okay. So that happens, she comes back, she's in a coma, and... okay, so I'm also going to set aside this side mission of Finn and Rose. We'll get to that in a minute.
Okay, you don't want to get to that yet?
I want to stick with this, like, main portion of ship running away from ship with Poe and Leia and the new purple-haired character, Vice Admiral Holdo.
I hated her character.
Okay. We can get that out. So, she's like... the stand-in for Leia, which I was like, if you're not gonna kill Leia there, like, just have Leia. Like, I just, like, they film these scenes with the intent of doing it this way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I just don't understand why they needed another character that's basically Leia just with purple hair.
And worse. Worse in every conceivable way.
Yeah. So she has like this plan that she's keeping a secret.
For no reason.
For no reason at all, which is to deploy all the escape pods to the nearest planet with as many people on them. And so Poe's like, this person doesn't know what she's doing because she won't tell him the plan, and takes over. And she, like, to prevent his takeover, shoots her own people. And I'm like, what? So now we're shooting our own people because we couldn't tell them this plan, that like there was no need for it to be a secret?
Okay, so this is another point I want to hit on. Okay, so you know, one of the things that people love about Star Wars and just movies in general, people love the underdogs. People love the ragtag group of people getting together to beat the big bad. But in this movie, they treat the Resistance like such a military force that they're not fun anymore. Like even the beginning where like Rose is like throwing people in the brig for deserting and things like that. Like, the Resistance is not likable in this movie. They're not like the ragtag group of people getting together. They're not the rebels. They're the Resistance, and it just, they don't feel like, I don't know, like, I didn't like this whole, you gotta learn your place. That feels like something they would talk about in the First Order. Like, in the Resistance, it'd be like, oh, you might be, like, the lowliest people, but you have a great idea. Like, that's what I want to see from, like, the underdogs, not like this, I don't know. I didn't like the militarization of the Resistance. I get the thing they were trying to teach Poe, but not a fan.
I'll say this, and might not be a great statement, but the Resistance kind of feels like a terrorist organization in this movie. Because there's all these, like, suicide plant, like, kamikaze bombers, and it's like, we don't really know, like, what their cause is other than to just, like, be a pain in the First Order's side. And it does kind of have this, like, military feel, like, it's like, if you desert, we'll kill you, or whatever.
Yeah, that's not the Resistance, right?
Yeah.
That's not how rebels do things. I don't know, and they just want to make things better.
It's like, we don't, because it's like, this Resistance isn't the same as, like, the Resistance from the original trilogy. We just don't really have, like, as much of a reason to root for this Resistance, and they really don't give us one.
They do
not. It's not like the people themselves are just, like, genuinely good people. They're annoying people like purple-haired lady. And, Yeah, I don't feel as much of a connection to the Resistance, I think, as I did for the previous underdogs.
Yeah. I like Poe a lot, but I don't really care
about I do like Poe, and I like Finn, and I kind of like that Finn's like, I don't know about these Resistance guys. I just know I don't like the First Order.
Yeah, I really like Finn's characterization, because think about it. You know, he grew up with the First Order. He knows how terrible they can be. And he's scared, and he doesn't want to be a part of it. Like, he's not a Resistance hero. He's like, I want to get out of this, so.
Yeah, yeah, I like that, because I'm kind of like, yeah, I want to get off this ship too. Yeah. Like, I don't want any part of what's going on here.
Yeah, and we don't have what did you want to do next? Like,
so we'll get to kind of the end of this plot is that there's like the takeover, and then she takes back over.
Yeah,
the purple haired lady ends like, oh, I was really just trying to release these escape pods. Leia wakes up at some point. And it's like, ah, oh, cool, everything's great. And they're, like, loading onto the escape pods, and there's, like, the cheesy, like, scene with her and the Vice Admiral, where they're like, oh, may the Force be with you.
That was the worst.
We said it at the same time, haha.
It was not funny. I did not like that one bit.
It wasn't great. And so they blast off to their island, and we'll leave it there. But so the last thing was Vice Admiral Holdo stays on board and has what is one of the coolest scenes in Star Wars ever, I think.
I agree, but there, like, I got issues with this man.
This was the scene of the movie.
Yes, the scene itself in a black box was perfect, but in the context of the movie, I got serious qualms with
it. Yes, yes. Okay, so I'm guessing your problem is mainly with just the idea of how hyperspace works. So
nope,
Holdo.
No issues with that,
it's not
whatsoever.
It's not. Okay, interesting. So Vice Admiral Holdo gets is the only person left on the main ship, turns it around, and hyperspace blasts through the First Order fleet. It goes completely silent as it's just like black and white on the screen. Mm-hmm. It's like really cool scenery, cuts straight through the ship.
Oh yeah, it was beautiful.
Yes. Okay, so what is your problem with this?
My problem. I don't know the bounds of technology in the Star Wars universe, and that's fine. So when she says someone has to stay behind to pilot the ship, my first thought is, you mean to tell me this ship doesn't have autopilot or even cruise control? Because even our cars have cruise control. And, you know, if they don't, that's fine. That's fine. But also, you know what exists in the Star Wars universe? Droids! And I was paying attention this time. Whenever she says she's staying behind, her and Leia are talking, and on the ramp behind them is C-3PO. And as soon as she says, I have to stay behind, he just inches up towards the ramp to get inside. And I'm just like, okay, so it could do it on its own? And you couldn't leave a droid?
Okay, it doesn't make any sense. C-3PO piloted a ship in, I believe it was episode 2. He piloted the Naboo cruiser, bringing in my prequel knowledge. So it is possible.
Yeah, so I was like, no, you don't have to stay behind. You got a perfectly good droid 2 feet behind you.
Wow, okay, so I hadn't thought of that. And a lot of people's issue was like, hyperspace shouldn't be able to do that. Like, if that was a thing, people would be doing it all the time. I don't care about that.
I don't care about that, like, because it looked really cool.
I know. And again, just like another thing of like, the Resistance is a terrorist organization and they will send kamikaze bombers alone in ships. But okay, so my thing with it was, super memorable scene, and this is for the sad sacrifice of Vice Admiral Holdo, who we've known for 30 minutes.
And do not like.
Yes. And it's like, so we'll always remember, oh, remember when Vice Admiral Holdo made that sacrifice? It's like, no, that can't be what it was. Why couldn't that have been another opportunity for Leia to go?
Man, I don't know. It's like someone promised Laura Dern a position and was just like, I don't know, be fake Leia for a while.
But even like right there, like they could have done it together. Like, I know they didn't have those scenes, but like, you could have pretty easily had something where they're both like, oh, we'll do it together. And it's like, and then that's how Leia goes. And then that is like a super memorable, like, that's how Leia went, was like in this super cool scene.
Yeah, I think that would have been cool because, you know, they were trying to impart this wisdom about the greater good and the big picture to Poe. I think that would have been perfect. But he was just like, well, I didn't like, well, if I was Poe, I would have been like, well, I didn't really like her that much anyway, so
yeah,
thanks, but I'm good.
Yeah, I just, like, that bothered me. But I am excited to see it again, just to see that scene again, because it was so cool.
It's great. Like, the way the ship cuts through it, like, it's jagged, it's not just a straight up.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay, so we've covered that. So, while this is all going on,
oh boy,
a third storyline, I suppose, maybe fourth, but is Finn and Rose's magical adventure, which I had to read again to remember what it was that they were even trying to accomplish.
See, that's a bad mission. Sign. That's a really bad sign.
I couldn't really remember, and it still doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me why this is what they did. But Finn is trying to escape. He's just trying to get away.
Which I like that about his character.
Yeah, I like that he did that. It is in line with everything. I kind of like that scene where he's like looking back at the pod, like, is she going to figure it out? And he's like pretending to be, he's like, yeah, that's me, Resistance hero, just checking up on the pods or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I like that scene. I don't really understand. So the plan is that they're going to go down to this planet and get in touch with some, what did they call him? The Master Codebreaker.
They keep saying it, and the more they said it, the more it made me mad.
Yes.
Couldn't they just get a hacker? Like,
the plan is that they know he is at some conveniently nearby planet.
Wait, the only way they know is because they, for some reason, contact that Maz character.
Yes,
because which was she knows Poe okay. for some
yeah.
reason.
Yeah.
Why was she yep. in the movie?
Because it's Lupita Nyong'o, and she's a big name actress, but they for some reason put her in this weird, wrinkly animated body, and got to keep her around for some reason. And
I like, really dislike that whole scene with her.
In the background, she was like in the middle of a game of Doom or something like that, where she's like going through dungeons and like shooting monsters.
She said it was a union dispute.
Yeah. Yeah, that seemed completely unnecessary.
All they had to do was say, Poe knows someone.
Yeah, I forgot that was even, like, the reason that they called her was to find out that there's a code breaker on Canto Bite. So, yeah, so this is the plan, is they need something to do, so they go to this planet, and it's, like, the rich people planet, which I was immediately not on board with any of this. Because I just, like, there's so much, like, political commentary, and this entire planet, like, felt like a human planet. Just, yeah. like, I, it, yeah. Too Earth-like, I think. But, so they go down to this planet, and it's, like, casinos, and they're, like, racing these weird horse things, and abusing them, and it's, like, all this, like, funny, like, there's this little, like, I don't know, leprechaun man, and he keeps putting coins in BB-8, and that's super funny, and so I didn't entirely understand here that they find this guy, finally, at this casino card table, and that actually was the master codebreaker.
Yeah, but they get arrested before they can get contact him.
They get arrested as they, like, see him. And so they get thrown in jail. And just happen to be in jail with... Okay, and I didn't realize this was his name. DJ.
Do they ever say his name?
I don't think so.
I was listening this time, and I don't think so.
For some reason, I watched the movie and thought that they had the wrong guy at the beginning. And that this guy actually was the master codebreaker.
Oh, okay.
I thought that, because all they say is like, oh, this guy's wearing the emblem, that means it must be him. And I thought it was going to be a classic, like, oh, he had the emblem, but it was because he took it from the real guy.
Mm-hmm.
Because we never see that guy again, we just have this other guy. And it's like, what was even the point of that switcheroo? Why couldn't this guy have been... I don't know. So they meet this guy that also happens to be, like, a master codebreaker.
Who stutters.
Yeah, he stutters, which is kind of weird, but I don't know, I like Benicio del Toro. It just seemed kind of weird that he's now in Star Wars.
Yeah.
So they have this zany escape where BB-8 shoots coins at guards and doesn't really make
any sense. I got issues
with
BB-8 in this movie.
They didn't know what to do with him.
He did too much,
and it was all off-screen.
Yeah, like, I didn't like him tying up the guards. I don't like him taking control
of the
AT-AT later.
He somehow takes control. Yeah. It was like, wow, BB-8, he's really great.
He can do anything.
I think that was a point they made on Hello Internet, was just like, why aren't we making more of these things?
Yeah, they seem pretty dang versatile.
Like, you could have an army of BB-8s, and, like, earlier in the movie, it was the first opening scene when, like, Poe's ship is breaking down, and he's, like, plugging all these, like, resistors that are sparking, and then just uses his entire head to do it, and that somehow works, and I was like, that's not how electricity works.
It did make me laugh, though.
It was silly, but it was just, like, past, like, belief. Yeah, he was too silly. But, I mean, that just contributed to the ridiculousness of this whole planet plot, I thought. Not my favorite part of the movie.
See, here we go again with good themes and poor execution. Because at the core of it, you know, Finn, he hasn't really seen the world. All he knows is the First Order is bad, and he doesn't like them. He doesn't really know about, like, the macro aspects of it, like how people might be profiteering, how they might be, like, gray areas. And I think introducing him to that world is really interesting. I think Rose coming from a place where, like, she said the First Order was, like, mining some of their whatever, and then, you know, practiced bombing on their planet and how that took, like, everything she had. I think that's all interesting. But the execution of it was horrible. Like, the planet was boring, didn't really care about the casino. It seemed pretty generic. The escape scene with those alien horses is so long and boring. And thematically, yes. It's like, I didn't catch this the first time, but the second time, Rose at some point is like, I wish I could just drive a fist through, like, this beautiful city or something like that. And then she, like, gets to do that with the horses. And it's like, okay, cool. But
yeah, we didn't need that scene whole subplot.
Is so boring.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. And so, yeah. And see, I don't even remember those, like, themes of, like, Finn and Rose's character development because it was so obscured by all this zany stuff going on
yeah,
the planet.
Yeah, I didn't catch that the first time, it's which like is why the first time I hated all that more.
You could have had a very simple trip to this planet where it's like, those are the only thing. It's like, Finn is exposed to the world and, like, Rose, like, it's, like, some form of, like, revenge. I don't know. But it was just so much going on all the time, and so they escape from their prison cells and decide to go and make their escape on these tortured horses and meet up with these little stable boy kids. And so this is ties to the very final scene of the movie and kind of an overall theme of the movie,
mm-hmm.
of, like, you don't have to, like, be someone important, I guess, to, like, be a big deal or to, like, have the Force or to, like, dream about the Force or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so Rose gives him, like, what looked like a cereal box prize ring.
Yeah, that, like an old decoder switches. Ring from the 90s.
Yeah, yeah. And you, like, it's like a normal ring, but then you switch it and it reveals to have, like, the Resistance emblem on the inside. And I was like, that's stupid. Like, why would they have these rings? Like, why is that? Like, it's such a silly... Yeah, I didn't like that part. And so they run away on the horses into a giant, like, cornfield. And then DJ, the master coder, has somehow gotten a ship with BB-8, which we don't see that exciting scene. But he shows up and they all fly away back to... Why? Oh, yeah, they go to the First Order ship. And so that is that whole scene.
Yeah, that whole subplot to Canto Bight. Thematically, I think they had interesting ideas, but that execution is horrible.
It was boring. They needed something for Finn to do, and I get that.
You know, I don't even mind that they, like, failed, but just in general, just the planet itself and then that whole horse race, it was bad. Like,
it wasn't great.
Like, I get you need him to do something, and it's fine if that ends up being fruitless and fails. I think that can be interesting character progression either way, but the execution still has to be good, and in this case, it was not.
And this is in the middle of the movie, along with, like, the Admiral Holdo plot going on, and... some, like, weird, like, the weird stuff going on Force Island. This is just, like, was not my favorite. It was, like, the beginning I liked, and the ending I really liked, which we're getting to. This middle part, I was not in. It's like, this is just not great.
Yeah.
And they also had, like, really heavy commentary on, like, defense contractors, which I was kind of like, why is this in here? Like, people selling weapons to both sides, and I was like, I don't need that. Like, you got too much else going on to worry about this. This could be a plot in a different movie.
Yeah, like, in general, I'm fine with them adding things like, you know, gray areas to the Star Wars universe, because just, you know, it doesn't do itself a lot of favors by defining the sides of the Force as the dark side and the light. Like, you can't really have a compelling villain if they use something called the dark side. Like, they know they're in the wrong. Like, there's not, like, a lot of ambiguity there. So I think it was interesting trying to do that, but I just, the way they went about it, I don't know, man. And I think that's the majority of my thoughts on the movie. It's just like, oh, that's cool, an idea, but I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, so I think we're at the last part of the movie here that I wasn't so sure about. And then I think I was on board for the rest of it. So we're going to go to the Rey has shown up at... I can't keep track of what ship they're on. I don't know if this is the same ship that Hux is on that's chasing... I don't know. But it's wherever Kylo, Ren, and Snoke are. Yes. So Kylo's there, Snoke's there. Now they have Rey. She's a prisoner. She willingly, I guess, gives herself up. With the thought that she can convince Kylo to turn to their side and kind of just, like, single-handedly change the entire, like, war that they're having.
Yeah, because during one of their mind connection things, when they, like, touched hands, she said that she could, like, see bits of his future or something like that, and it was, like, bright and clear and, you know, not evil. So
yeah, which I don't even know, like... I don't think Rey's even really doing this to, like, save the Resistance. Like, I don't know, I don't get the sense that it's like, we've got to save Kylo to, like, save all my friends in the Resistance. It's more of, like, Rey's doing it because, like, she believes in, like, the Force and that she's, like, a big player in it.
Yeah, and I think it tangentially helps the Resistance, but I think... It seems more like her motivation is she feels the loneliness in Kylo Ren and the conflict and wants to fix that. It seems more genuine than just, oh, this will help the Resistance. So,
yeah. Yeah, so they bring Rey into Snoke's chamber, and it's the first time we see Snoke in person. I don't know how you feel about his appearance at all. I didn't really have any problems with it.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay. But so he kind of, I think first he interrogates Kylo, and then he interrogates Rey and is kind of like starting to torture her. And then this is, I didn't like this scene where it was just too obvious to me of Snoke is like, I sense that your resolution is clear now. I sense that you are going to do the thing that you have to do. I sense that someone in this room is going to meet their fate. And it was like, well, it's obviously not going to be Rey. And so then Kylo is able... Well, okay, so we had some disagreement about this in our family.
Uh-oh.
But I think it was pretty clear what happened was, who did you think manipulated the lightsaber sitting next to Snoke?
Wait, hold on. Is this up for debate?
I didn't think so. But there is some back and forth that maybe it was Rey that had caused it to happen.
Oh, no.
I was like, I don't understand that. So I don't think that's a credible theory, because it would kind of ruin the entire thing. Like, it wouldn't make any sense. But Kylo is able to, instead of using his lightsaber to kill Rey, he turns on Luke's lightsaber, which is right next to Snoke, and impales him. So this is the last thing where I just kind of had some issues, and it's mainly just because, like, it felt, once again, like Rian Johnson was like, oh, you set up this mysterious character, Snoke? Yeah, I'm just gonna kill him right here, and we're not gonna get any backstory, we're not gonna figure out who he is, what he was doing. He's really not even gonna be that intimidating of a character. He's just going to be overconfident and die.
See, this bothers me so much because, you know, I didn't hear too much about The Last Jedi before I saw it, but one of the things I heard around the press junkets, Andy Serkis was saying, Snoke is by far the most powerful person we've seen in Star Wars, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. Maybe we'll actually see him in person. And then, you know, first couple minutes we see him in person, he uses Force lightning. I'm just like, yes, what else can he do? What else can he do? And then boom, he's dead. And I was just like,
what? I know, it's in that, why? Like, 2 minutes they set him up as though he's like the most powerful person, and then just kill him. And I'm just like, what?
I don't have an issue with Kylo Ren's reasoning for killing him.
Yeah, I don't either.
But, boy, it just feels like it was just a middle finger to people who are looking forward to this for 2 years.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, so, but, okay, so this kind of ends, like, my, like, part of the movie. Because right after this is there's this whole room of Snoke's guards. And Kylo and Rey start kind of back-to-back fighting these guards.
Oh my god, I love this scene.
Like, I loved every minute of this.
I did too. As soon as, like, the Luke's lightsaber cuts through Snoke and starts heading towards the camera, and you just see a fist come up and grab it. Oh my god, there are some amazing shots in this movie.
Yes.
And that and the whole fight scene, just them kind of working together. And they both fight with a lot of rage.
yeah, that's what we noticed was like, Rey was like Kylo's like, oh, the ragey teenager or whatever. But it's like, Rey was
getting it. She was mad.
Yeah, it was such a cool scene. The fighting, how all the guards were like ninjas with different like skills.
Mm-hmm.
Was like on the edge of being cheesy, but I was like, this is kind of cool. They've got like ball and chain and like all these different weapons that they're fighting with.
I thought that was great.
There's like the red like banner surrounding the room that's like slowly like burning up and falling down as they're fighting, which I thought was awesome.
Yeah, red is a big color in this movie.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. And there's like the one part where Rey's like in a chokehold and she like drops her lightsaber and grabs it with the other hand.
Yes.
That was awesome. And so that was like the turning point for me where I like as soon as like Snoke dies, I think I like sat back up in my chair and I was like, okay, we're back in it.
That's all that needed to happen.
That's it. Well, because it was like the whole gambling planet was done.
Yeah.
We're done with all the weird like talking about the like force and the weird purple hair lady stuff. It's like we're back in like Star Wars mode of like cool lightsaber battles. And like, I don't know, I like, so they have this battle and then there's kind of like, it's just them and they kind of have this like argument to like get each other to join each other's side. And I was legitimately like, I think Rey's gonna like join Kylo's side.
Yeah,
like I don't know,
I would have been fine if that would have happened, you know. There was actually a lot of tension in the scene because they beat all the bad guys and everything. And Kylo's just like, he's fed up with it. He's like, he doesn't like the Jedi. He doesn't like the Sith. He just wants to start over and do something new. He just wants to, you know, kill the past and move on. And Adam Driver just sells that so much. And I'm just like, and I get his motivations for wanting to do that. And even like the relevation. Wait, how did you feel about Rey's parentage to that?
I really liked that they were. So most of the things where they were like, I bet you were expecting this, I liked that one, that they went the route of like, oh, I bet you thought her parents were someone super important in the universe. Just kidding, it's no one.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Out of all the things, they were just like, oh, you won't expect this. This is the one that worked for me. Because the only other theory at the time The Force Awakens came out was people were just like, oh, maybe it's like Leia and Han's other child and she's like Ben Solo's twin, and that just,
or like she's related to Obi-Wan somehow.
Yeah, the way the movie like that happened, that just, it makes no sense. And I get in the expanded universe blah 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 they had twins or whatever, but just in the movie context, that would have made no sense. So I was actually pretty happy with the way that they like went about revealing that and everything. And I don't know, I think it makes her character a lot more interesting than just being the heir to someone cool.
Yeah. No, I really like that. I know some people that didn't like it, and some people that, like, don't think it's true that he, like, lied to her.
I don't think that's the case.
I hope it's not. I hope they stick with that, because that was kind of the theme of this movie, is, like, you can be, like, a nobody. Like,
yeah, that would undercut it so much if they just went, oh, just kidding, she's related to Obi-Wan somehow.
I know, and I think that's Rian Johnson setting up for his next trilogy of, like, he doesn't have to, like, tie into this, like, heritage of Jedi and, like, all these big-name characters, because he can just pick nobodies and be like, remember in my movie when I said, like, you can be anyone?
Anybody can use the Force.
Yeah. So I really like the whole Snoke scene, other than just, like, why did we just kill off Snoke like that?
But yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that got me back into it. So that happens at the same time, which took me in a minute to realize this is on the same ship, is, like, Finn and Rose, and they've disguised themselves and have, like, hacked into the ship with their master codebreaker. And, oh, there's, like, the dark BB-8 that's, like, spying on them.
BB-9E.
Yeah. Yeah, so they, like, break in and disable something. I forget what they disable, but it's something important that they need to happen.
They're just trying to... It seems like they were just trying to open the door to get to the tracker thing. Okay, what is Rose's position? How does she know how to shut this down, since apparently doesn't exist anywhere else?
She's like... I thought she was, like, a ship mechanic.
Then why was she in charge of stopping people from escaping? Like, that's because, like, she ran into Finn. Task.
Yeah, I don't...
I don't know. I'm just confused about her position. They gave some
throwaway line. Yeah. So, I will say... I didn't think her character was great. I thought the acting was good.
I thought it was fine until the end, and then I didn't like it.
Yeah, okay. We'll get there. Okay. So, yeah. So, they had, like, this side mission, which, again, just feels like... Every time they go to that, I'm like, do we need that? Like...
It's easily the weakest part of the movie.
And then, they're trying to, like, leave, and BB-8 comes out in, like, a AT-AT, and he starts shooting people, and you're like,
don't like that at all.
And then they had this super anticlimactic battle with Captain Phasma.
Oh, is she dead yet? Because I know everyone loves Brienne of Tarth, but, man, I'm tired.
She's gotta be. Yeah, I know. You're tired of her, and she's had, like, two scenes in the entire series.
Yeah, I guess that's not great.
Like, they make such a big deal of her, and they never, like, she's not an important part of any story at all, and then has, like, this big, like, death scene where part of her mask gets cut away, and it's like, oh, underneath is Brienne of Tarth, no way.
Cool.
And it's like, we all knew that, like... and then she, like, has this big fiery death, and I was like, that felt like a huge death for a character that has meant nothing to the series so far.
You know,
other than being the cool chrome trooper that sells lots of toys.
Yeah, toys. But, I don't know, I think the first time I watched the battle, my first thought was, well, Phasma should have killed Finn much, much earlier. And I was one of the people who didn't feel, who weren't... Because in The Force Awakens, you know, he fights with Kylo Ren for a little bit. And I was fine with that because I was just like, oh, well, he probably has some combat training. Kylo Ren is hurt a little bit and he probably wants to, you know, toy with him a little bit. Because Kylo, like, as soon as, like, he gets injured a little bit, like, he takes out Finn, like, 2 seconds later. So it seemed more like he was toying with him. But in this fight, I was just like, oh, well, like, when they first squared off, I was like, oh, well, Finn's going to die. Because it makes no sense that he'd be able to beat her. But she, like, knocks him off the edge. And the only reason he doesn't die is because he, like, falls on this platform and comes back up and surprises her. So the second viewing, I was more okay with. The first time, I was just like, oh, Finn, he going to die. But
because I feel like they can't decide if he's, like, the, like, clumsy, bumbling character. Like... Jar Jar Binks light, where he's like,
oh, that,
like,
hurts kinda, me.
I know, that's too much. I shouldn't put that on him. But you know where it's kind of like he, like, kind of accidentally saves the day.
Yes,
they can't decide between that and he's, like, an actual good, like, warrior. I guess he's somewhere in between, which I guess he really can't be because he's just a stormtrooper.
Yeah, so. That was fine. I hope she's gone because they clearly don't know what to do with her.
Yeah, it's like we made this cool character. Yeah, that was strange. So they do that, and they get on some ship, and I thought they got on the same ship as Rey. I guess they didn't.
No, we don't ever see Rey escape.
I know, that's what confused me. I was like, how did Rey get out? But they end up on the island. I think it's called Crait. Yes,
yeah.
Crait is the final island, which I like Crait. Okay, so I think everyone is now in the same place.
Yeah, because
the resistance sent out their escape pods. Some of them got shot out of the sky, but luckily the ones with all the characters that we care about didn't.
Yeah, and Hux, finds Kylo Ren in the destroyed room. I really like that scene with Kylo Ren and Hux. Because, you know, he motions toward his gun.
Yeah, he's, not sure. Hux thinks, maybe Kylo did this. And Kylo, takes control of the leadership. And there's kind of, a tension between those two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I like that. And so they take their forces down to the island.
Small amount of forces.
Yeah, their forces are small, and then there's also now, 20 total resistance people.
Yeah, and I'm fine with there not being a lot of resistance, but I feel like the First Order didn't send, all the people they could have. They were focused on, snuffing out the resistance, but
yes.
That's really all the AT-ATs they had?
I don't
understand the scale.
One line's worth? Yeah. It seems like they keep scaling their army to be just, slightly too strong for the resistance.
Yeah, I don't know. You can't build them up that big and then be like, okay, we got, five AT-ATs, let's do this.
Yeah, they have, control of the entire galaxy, and they've got, a handful of ground troops. Yeah, so the setup is the resistance is now holed away in some old secret resistance base in the side of a mountain, and the First Order is outside with their AT-ATs and a giant, death cannon or whatever that they call, which I was immediately like, okay, this is the Death Star of this movie.
Oh, I mean, they said it was Death Star Tech. What was the battering ram?
Did they say
cannon?
That?
Oh, yeah,
Did they say it was Death Star Tech?
Yeah.
Oh, man. It can never die. There's always a Death Star, no matter how small.
Always a Death Star.
Oh, man. Okay. Yeah, so I was happy with this setup of, last stand of the resistance. And they kind of, bring out their, clunky, I don't know what they call those ships, where it was just, piles of scrap metal. And I didn't really understand the plan here.
I don't think they understood the plan either.
They were just
peeled off real quickly.
Yeah, it was once again, all the characters we care about are in these clunky things heading towards, the army. And it was okay, another suicide by the terrorist organization. They're just gonna fly their ships straight into you and blow you up.
I will say, and that whole scene with them flying out with the skitters kicking up,
super cool.
It looked so cool. And then when the shots would hit the ground, red would pop up. It was beautiful.
It was because the one guy licks the thing. He's like, salt. And I'm like, why did they do that? And then I'm like, oh, it's red underneath.
Yeah,
this is cool. And yeah, and because the little kickstand thing made no sense of why these ships would need to stabilize themselves.
Yeah, it looked cool, but
it made no sense. But it was it was this is why they did it, so they could have this cool looking scene. Yeah, so they're all flying there, and then at the last second, Poe tells them all to peel off, which I don't know if this was part of the original plan.
No, they got overwhelmed by the TIE fighters.
So they were all just going to charge straight into them?
No, I think they were going to try and shoot the cannon, but then
with what were they shooting with? I didn't see them shoot anything.
Wait, did they not have guns?
I don't think so.
Oh,
I don't remember them shooting anything. So the plane was saved because Rey comes in with Chewie, which Chewie, C-3PO, and R2-D2 are only in this movie because they have to be.
I feel bad for Chewie. Chewie,
he got the short end of the stick.
He did. Without Han, I don't really know if they know what to do.
Yeah. So they come in and draw the TIE fighters off.
I don't like the Millennium Falcon anymore. It does too much. It can't beat TIE fighters in those tight corners. I don't like it.
Okay, and I'm really interested to see how they handle it in the Solo movie. Which is coming out in 4 months.
That's a different conversation.
Yeah. So they draw the TIE fighters away, and Poe tells everyone to peel off, and then Finn, for some reason, this didn't make any sense to me just as his character. He's like, no, I'm going to commit suicide and blow up this cannon and save the day. And I was like, what? He's just a terrorist. Like, I just don't understand. Like, there's no reason to have that mentality. Like, a real person would be like, no. Like, and for the rest of them, unless there was some big attitude shift on the stupid gambling planet that they went to, like, Finn's character has been like, I'm not on board with either side. And I guess this is the moment where he's like, I'm finally on board, but
okay,
he's like,
okay,
really on board.
I had issues with this too. Let me try and sort of go to bat for him and let me know what you think. Because this is how I had to wrestle with it. Because, you know, at no point do I think, well, no. It seemed more like it was an attempt to, like, kind of like a screw you to the First Order rather than doing something brave for the Resistance. Because his arc through the movie doesn't, like, it doesn't really seem like...
He's more anti-First Order than pro-Resistance.
Yeah, and I guess maybe he turned more pro-Resistance on the planet when he saw what the First Order was doing. But still, there's not enough there to convince me that that would be something he would do. That seems like something Poe would do. Like, he just saw Laura Dern do it. And he'd be like, I'm gonna save everyone light this fire to start the blah, 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 blah. It doesn't make a lot of sense for Finn to do that. And at no point, I don't know. And then Rose saving him. How did her thing get out that far?
Okay. So I want to get to this. So I had bought on to, like, okay, we're gonna lose Finn, and I was like, wow, this is a really bold choice.
Same. I honestly thought he was gonna die.
Like a main three character in this series, and they're gonna kill him, and I was like, wow, this is really powerful that they would do this, and so I've accepted it. And then she comes flying out of nowhere. I'm like, what the, and like crashes the thing, and they perfectly well should have died just from that crash.
Yeah, because they were essentially in things put together with duct tape or the Star Wars equivalent.
Yeah. And so they're like on the ground, like Finn's just like fine and goes over, and but Rose is like kind of dying.
This is bad acting.
this was bad.
Oh, okay, maybe it was more bad writing.
It was a bad scene.
Because I think John Boyega does good with Finn here. But, because he's like, why? Why would you save me? I was trying to save the Resistance. This is the thing that would have made things better. And she says, I saved you, dummy. Like, this is a comical moment. And he's like, no, you've doomed us, you idiot.
And then she says that Resistance always fights for what they love, and then kisses him. And while she's kissing him, the cannon goes off and blows a giant hole in the Resistance base. And it was like, what are we doing here?
Why did that happen?
And then Rose immediately passes out after kissing him. And I'm just like, what?
This is a scene like, from a bad movie. Like
It is.
Like, if this was in, like, you know, one of those so bad it's good movies, this would be one of the defining hilarious moments. But because it's in a Star Wars movie, I'm just like, oh no. What were they thinking?
Leia Mary Poppins can, like, go to their own movie, and that Leia Mary Poppins and Leia and Holdo saying, may the Force be with you at the same time. Ugh.
Like, where did this relationship even, like, start to, like, blossom? Like, she had
you can kind of pick up that she likes him. She kind of, like, has a thing for him a little bit.
Where? I see it in the very beginning where she's, like, has, like, the celebrity crush, but I was assuming
that
was all
gone. But then they had, like,
an
adventure together. Yeah, I mean, but immediately, I was, like, when that happened, I was, like, how's Rey gonna feel about this? Because I thought those were the two that we were supposed to be concerned about.
Yeah, okay, so here's my thing. If Finn and Rey, if they stay platonic, I think that's fine and that's great. I just don't see Rose and Finn. Because when you think about all the things they've gone through compared to all the things that Finn and Rey went through, just even the first thing that Finn says when he wakes up, it's like, where's Rey? When Rey is going to maybe certain dooms, he tells Chewie, tell Finn, I said this or whatever. Like, they've got this connection. And then for Finn and Rose to go on this stupid, stupid subplot, and then for her to seemingly doom the rebellion, and then be like, I saved you, dummy. Ugh. No.
Okay. Yeah, so I will say, like, the first time watching it, I didn't have a huge problem with Rose as a character. But the more I thought about it, like, I just didn't like any of the things she was involved with.
I saw what they were trying to do, and I don't... It didn't come through for me. I don't like it at all. Especially the whole sub-romance with Finn. I don't want to see a love triangle in episode 9. I don't
need it. And that's clearly what they set up for.
Which is... I just... No! No!
Yeah.
So those are my feelings on that. That's probably my strongest low point of the movie.
Okay. We've got to finish this movie. Okay. So Finn drags her back at some point. While that's going on, the Resistance is trying to get out of their cave. And they find some back tunnel to go and escape. But before that happens, First Order wants to advance, but they can't. Because Luke Skywalker has appeared. And he goes and has a scene with Leia, which was clearly like a, we've got to have a scene of Leia talking to Luke. Which I think, honestly, is the reason they didn't kill her earlier. We've got this scene with Leia, and it's got to happen. And I don't know.
I agree. That seems to be the only reason they kept Leia around longer.
For me, it wasn't a super strong scene. It wasn't fine. Like, wow, this happened. Because the big thing about that scene is Luke gives her this, like, charm bracelet from the Millennium Falcon that apparently Han has had up there, which, looking at it, like, no one knows what that, like, that was never that was a big stretch. Thing in any Star Wars movie. But, so this whole scene happens, and we'll discuss it, but it turns out that Luke is a projected hologram. Whoa. He is still on Force Island. And so my problem, though, is this powerful scene where he gives Leia this charm bracelet thing. That's a force projection charm bracelet. And it's like, so he didn't give her anything, because it dissolves vanishes. Later. It dissolves later. And so I'm like, what was the point of that?
Oh, man.
Why did he give that to her? Could she feel that in her hand?
That's my question. I want to know if she could feel it.
Have physical weight? So I think that happened. And he, like, winks at C-3PO, which, I don't know, kind of cool. That's I kind of like that. And, yeah. So then he goes out to face Kylo.
Okay. We forgot one thing. Before he does this... There was one thing on Force Island we didn't talk about.
Oh, man. Yoda. What did I forget? Oh, gosh. Wow. Again, like I said, there's so many things in this movie to have opinions on.
Arguably too many things to have opinions
on. At least 2 hours worth is what it's looking like.
This movie was a little too long for me.
Okay, so how did you feel about Yoda coming back in general?
I'm pretty lukewarm. Like, I wasn't overjoyed or sad to see Yoda. I know a lot of OG people were really excited it was Puppet Yoda again. I was like, all right, cool, I guess.
It kind of bothered me that they went back to Puppet Yoda. And I feel like that's me being, like, a young, like, prequel-watching fan. But it's like, that Yoda was bad. I'm sorry, it was just, like, silly. And they tried to bring Puppet Yoda back in episode 1. And it was just so silly and terrible that they went to the CGI version of it.
I mean, and some, like, people seem to love it. There's a
reason we went... I know, but there's a reason we went to this... I like CGI. CGI Yoda is my Yoda.
Oh, that's a bold stance, Aaron. That's a bold stance.
He is. I'm sorry. I've seen episode 2 and 3 more times than I've seen the original trilogy. And there is nothing... Like, CGI Yoda is a much more serious Yoda. I don't know. I guess people don't like him, but...
I would have been fine with CGI Yoda, because... Even watching, I was just like, oh, Puppet Yoda, that seems like fan service.
It caught me off guard. Because
it is now 2017. Why would you not just make a CGI Yoda and move
on
with
life? You retcon the retcon. And it was just kind of strange. So that, and I don't mind whatever weird exchange they had. And he like taught Luke a lesson. It's like, okay, we're going to do this. And he's going to have his little moment with Yoda. But then he like has the power to like summon a lightning bolt to destroy the Force Temple with the ancient Force books that really weren't that important. But it's like, if these Force ghosts have those powers, why aren't they constantly, like, helping?
Well, you know? I do know, like, and I don't have an answer.
Force Anakin and Force Qui-Gon and Force Obi-Wan and Force Yoda to all just be, like, throwing down lightning bolts on enemy ships.
I don't know. It has issues.
I didn't understand why we needed that power. And it didn't seem like that scene was necessary enough that we just had to have that him do that in there.
Yeah, like, I don't really know what, like, it actually, like, changed in Luke. Like, I guess it, like, made him... It didn't really seem like it spurred him to action. It seemed more like... I don't know. I would have preferred if that conversation was earlier and it would have convinced him to, like, really teach... Ray the ways of the Force, but it was too late for that.
Yeah, but it was after she had left.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess if anything, it convinced him to go and do this Force projection thing.
I don't know. So I just wanted to touch on it because I didn't know.
Yeah,
if you had
I had forgot about the Yoda scene, but I will say that I am in the very small camp that would have rather have seen CGI Yoda there, because puppet Yoda just seemed kind of strange.
I get that, but also hold on, one more thing. Did Luke really not read the books? Like, what else was he doing?
I don't know. I don't know what Luke did on that island. I guess he was just milking things and stabbing fish and... Yeah, I'm not sure.
That bothered me a bit. He was just like, did you read the books? And he was like, page turners, they are not. I was like, but what else would he have been doing?
I know, and then, like, why is it a big deal that, like, he doesn't want to bring it down if he didn't? I don't know.
What if? They showed a scene later in the Millennium Falcon, and Rey has the book, so maybe there'll be a somewhat importance later.
I don't know. Not too invested in the Force books.
Yeah, me neither.
To be honest.
Okay, so back to... Hoth 2.
Okay, yeah. So Luke shows up and goes out to face Kylo. I like the funny scene of Kylo's like shoot him down with everything we've got and fire all these lasers at him with all their AT-ATs, and he comes out and like brushes his shoulder. I was like, huh, okay.
Yeah, I was fine with that. I at the moment when I watched it, I was like, oh, people gonna be mad about that.
Yeah, and I also like that, I forget if it's now or a little later, but like Kylo and Hux are kind of like battling for command in the like AT-AT, and Kylo's like, fire all we've got, and Hux like jumps forward and he's like, fire everything we've got. And
I like that a lot too.
It's like, calm down, Hux, you're so such a tryhard.
And man, Adam Driver's such a good actor, because when the Millennium Falcon first pops up and he is like, blow that hunk of junk out of the sky. Like,
yes.
Any other person, that would have sounded silly and I would have laughed. But with
him, he knows how to do rage. Really, like, I saw something that was like, Adam Driver is like the Anakin that we needed in the original prequels. Or not the original, the prequels. Because it's like, Anakin in those prequels was supposed to be like this, like, angsty like teenager that doesn't know how to control his anger and like his power, and it's like Hayden Christensen was just a terrible actor, so none of that like came out right.
I think it was pretty bad writing as well. When Christensen,
it was
defense.
Bad writing, it was really bad lines, like, don't make me kill you. You don't know my power.
But once again, I guess if you can deliver it, it'll work.
I have brought the prequels into this too many times. Okay. Yeah, so, and then Kylo goes down, and so Luke and Kylo have this kind of, like, face-off. And so, okay, did you know that Luke was a force projection at this point?
I knew something was up because his hair looked like it did in the flashbacks. Like, it was okay. Not as long and scraggly. And then he pulled out his blue lightsaber, which had been destroyed earlier. And I was like, well, what?
This is where, yeah, that's when I was like, what? Like, he doesn't have a lightsaber because Rey took his lightsaber.
Yeah, I was like, where's his green lightsaber? And then
they pulled it in. Yeah, they pulled it in half. Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, that's kind of when I mean, obviously, like, he withstood, like, all these blasts, and so, like, something's going on, but, yeah. And so he has this, like, fight with Kylo. I'm trying to remember what happens here. He has, like, that cool, like, limbo moment, and then he, like, recovers from it in some cool way.
Mm-hmm.
But then he kind of just, like, I forget what he does. He kind of, like, winks at Kylo, and he's like, you're not going to get what you want, or something like that.
Well,
and that's when it's, like, revealed that
Kylo gets mad at some point, and he's like, I'm going to strike you down, and there will be no more Jedi. And then he says, Luke says that same thing he said to Rey, is like, funny, everything you said in that sentence is wrong.
Yeah.
The Resistance isn't dead, it's born today, and I will not be the last Jedi. They said the words the last Jedi too many times, and it felt cheesy, and it made
always,
me angry.
Yeah, when they say the title of a movie in a movie, I kind of always cringe.
Same, and they said it, like, back to back, and I was like, okay, like, come on, folks. Didn't need that. And then he said that thing about, if you strike me down, I'll be more powerful, and I'm pretty sure Obi-Wan says something.
That's Obi-Wan's, and that's why, at that point, I was like, well, maybe he is real, and he's gonna, like, go Obi-Wan style and let him cut him down.
Yeah, I thought he was there. I don't know. I knew something was up. I didn't quite piece together that it was a force projection, though, so.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't have, because that's a power that we didn't know existed until this scene. So, yeah, he does that, and he can't defeat him because he's a force projection. And Kylo's mad. The Resistance has escaped out of the back of the cave. Rey uses the Force to clear rocks away.
Even though Leia could have used the Force to clear the rocks.
Oh.
I'm just saying.
You're right. You are right, unfortunately. And her and Finn have, like, a reunion, which was a little underwhelming to me, just because I was like, oh yeah, Rey and Finn are supposed to be, like, the main two people. And it just felt like we had had so much going on with other people that it was like, you kind of forget that was, like, the main connection in Force Awakens.
I think it would have been more impactful if we didn't have that whole kiss scene with Rose beforehand.
Yeah, because you're like, oh, like, is this awkward for Rose?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be thinking about Rose.
Yeah, that was the opposite of the person I wanted to be thinking about. Yeah. So it was, I thought it was strong. I just didn't think it was as strong as it needed to be, because they kept laying these hints of them, like, needing to, like, see each other and make sure they're okay, because they went through some crazy stuff in The Force Awakens. So of course they're going to care about where they are later. And I think it really got undercut by all that Rose stuff that was unnecessary and out of the blue, in my opinion.
Yeah. So they reunite, and we flash to Luke, and he has been doing his Force projection, and he's like, I did it. And then he vanishes. So Luke is dead, which a lot of people don't like, I guess.
I'm not the biggest fan of it because, you know, we got a lot of Luke in the middle and beginning, but he disappears from the movie for a long time.
He does.
And then he shows up for a little bit and then dies.
I know. And my thing is, like, okay, Luke dies, but why is Leia still alive? Like, that's the character that you can't film more scenes of because she's not here anymore.
I think they were already done shooting the majority of her scenes and just wanted to use
them. For the next movie, too?
No, no, no. They were done filming the majority of her scenes for episode 8.
It's just, like, you're going to have to CGI something or something like that at some point.
I think they're going to do it off screen. I really do.
Really? You think that we're going to come back to the next movie and it's just like, oh, we lost Leia?
Oh, yeah. I think we're getting a time jump in episode 9 and Leia's going to be gone.
Huh.
Because, and I mean, I guess it's time to, like, talk about the ending and everything, but, like, the Resistance has a ship full of people. They've got to rebuild at some point.
One Millennium Falcon's worth of people.
Yes, one Millennium Falcon's worth of people. And if this is going to have
resistance,
any stakes that's not so small scale as this movie, they've got to build it up, and the only way that can happen is with some time jump, I think.
Yeah, because you got to wait for the stable boy to grow up, I guess.
Ugh.
Yeah, so that's the last scene is the Resistance is on the ship, and they're like, well, we don't have many people. And then it goes to the stable boy, and he flashes his serial ring, and looks up, and he... Apparently, you see... I didn't realize he saw the Millennium Falcon. I thought he was looking up at the stars. This is... He looks up at the sky to see the Falcon flying overhead.
I don't think that's true.
I didn't think so either, but he clearly has, like, a little force, because he, like, grabs the broom with it. And he, like, flashes his Resistance ring and holds up his broom.
I don't like the ending.
Okay, that's fair. But I think that was clearly, like, Rian Johnson's, like, I got another trilogy coming for you.
See, I get it thematically. I get he's saying, even this poor stable boy can tap into the Force. Like, it doesn't have to be some special bloodline. I get it. I don't like the movie ending on that note, though. I was like, I don't care about this kid. I understand that. I understand the context of what he's saying. I don't know. I didn't like it.
I feel like we've really bashed on this movie quite a bit.
Yeah, I guess we have.
We have for 2 hours. But I still say overall, I like the movie. And I think it's kind of what you were saying at the beginning, is like, you get like the space battles and like that final scene of like AT-ATs lined up and stuff like that, and it's just like, Star Wars is cool.
Yeah, there are definitely, like, in my opinion, I think this movie has some of like the highest moments of Star Wars, but also some of the dumbest stuff that I've seen in a movie in a while.
Yeah, it's a mixed bag.
Yeah, and because I'm really trying to dig down and understand some of the themes and elements they're going for, I applaud them for that, but some of the ways it came about, that execution, I'm just like, well, that was kind of poor filmmaking. But overall, I think I still enjoyed it. Like, even seeing it that second time, I was just like, oh yeah, I had fun. There's some dumb stuff in there, but I had fun.
I'm excited to see it a second time, just because I know there are like certain scenes that I want to see again.
Yeah, it's definitely worth another watch.
Yeah. Okay, well, I don't know if you have anything else you want to comment on, but we're right at an hour and 59 minutes.
I knew this was going to be a long conversation, but I did not think it was going to be this long of a conversation.
We talked about, I'm pretty sure, everything that happened in this movie.
I'm sure there's something we forgot.
I'm sure there's some major thing, but, I mean, I almost completely forgot Yoda was in this movie.
I mean, that scene isn't, I wouldn't put it in the top it's of not being
a top,
important.
So. Yeah, it's not a top 10 scene. That's the other thing. There were just so many scenes. And I think I saw George Lucas, like, visited the set one time. And he was like, man, you've got way too many sets.
Oh, wow.
Like, this is never going to work. Because there were, like, 200-some different sets that Rian Johnson was trying to create. And it's like, I think that really does kind of hurt the movie, just because you're always somewhere new. There's always something new happening, and it's always something that is slightly controversial that you can have a very strong opinion about.
Yeah, this movie did feel long to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's 2.5 hours, and it's jam-packed.
Yeah.
So, well, I think we've given plenty of opinions for this episode.
I think so, too.
You're going to have quite a bit of editing to do.
That's all right. It'll be interesting to listen to again.
Okay, well, that concludes our first named episode of mainly movies.
Yep, and hopefully they're not all this long.
Oh, I don't think they will. Although I think the next one we've got to do is our 2017 movie review, which could be another marathon. Yeah, I think we need to do that one soon, though.
I agree, because movies, I forget them pretty quickly. I'm not going to lie to
you. Yeah. No, they come and they go. But I've got several other ideas.
Cool.
For future podcast. Have you seen Black Mirror Season 4 is on Netflix?
I know that it's on Netflix, but Grace and I are going through Black Mirror right now, and we're only in Season 2.
Okay. I watched all of the episodes in about a day and a half. So I think we're going to need to get to those at some point.
Oh, yes.
I think those are fun reviews. But I think before that, we need to do 2017 movie review.
Yeah, so I want to do Black Mirror Season 4.
Be compiling your thoughts for 2017. And then we can start trying to do these, I don't know, once a week or so.
Yeah, we can try and get on a schedule. But I don't know. I kind of like a Hello Internet schedule of whenever they have time.
I like that, but I feel like we could do several like right here in January, February, and be able to like release them or whatever if we get to that point.
Yeah,
at a slower pace, just because we'll have kind of a stockpile.
Yeah, I like that idea.
So yeah, because I just got like a lot of things that I kind of want to talk about right now.
Yeah, me too. I compiled a list, and then I realized we'd be talking about Star Wars the whole time, so it'll have to wait.
Yep. We gotta do that. But yeah, let's do. We can bounce some ideas for end of the year. I don't know if you want to do with like that like award category thing, or we can just do like our top movies and just kind of talk through them.
I'm thinking more top movies because I'm finding it difficult to put things in categories. Like I started to do like best action movie, and then I was just like, well, what really quantifies an action movie? Does it just have to have some action? Because most movies have action these days, so I don't know. Yeah,
what I didn't want to happen is like we do our top five, and then our top five are the same movies in like slightly different orders. But looking at it, I think I've got a top five that you might only have like one or two.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so. Yeah. I think if we do top five or something, we'll be okay. I think we'll have enough difference in our lists.
Okay, cool.